If you want to learn something about God, shut your mouth and listen to me for a minute.
Many, many children healed. We've seen midgets grow. We've seen arms and legs that stop growing because the growth cells have stopped. Mandadabasata. I don't make this stuff up.
Behold the atheist's nightmare.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Why do they teach every other theory in science except creation?
Warlocks are enemies of God.
No one's ever going to convince me that the word of God is not true.
You know, if you put Jesus Christ first, that he'll look after all your bills.
And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal.
And if you want to tell me how to live my life, it better line up with the word of God or shut your mouth.
I'm loaded. I'm pregnant with miracles.
What do you believe?
Send us the cash.
Welcome to the Bible Dumb Podcast. This podcast, two atheists read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm Davey Hell.
I'm Jesse Hell.
And we are joined again by the Holy Ghost, our hellhounds, and we're ready to read some Bible stories. You ready to read some Bible stories?
I'm ready.
You got any stories from your life?
I just had one funny thing happen this week.
Ooh, what's that?
This lady was telling me about this really good book that she was reading.
Love a good book.
Yeah. And she started out by telling me it was just describing a dystopian setting. And I was like, oh, I love dystopian books. What's the name of it? And she was like, oh, let me look. You know, and I picked up my phone at that time to open up my Libby and get ready to put a hold on this book, you know?
Yeah.
And as she's looking for the name of the book, she goes, yes, it's all about how they manage through God, how they manage to deal with not having access to all of it. And I just kind of slowly put my, or very quickly put my phone down again, like, oh, okay. And then I realized, oh, and I had to like pick my phone up and was like, oh, like, yeah.
Fake type in.
Yeah.
Which never works. No. I always think about like in movies when people are like fake typing, it like never looks right. You're like, oh, really?
Oh,
that
yes.
That sounds great.
Let me make note. I'll get right on that book. I was like, oh, yeah. Wow.
It's hard to, I don't know. It's hard to overlook blatant religion in
you can
just like feel the propaganda like bleeding out of the text.
Yeah, and it was just some random lady. I wasn't gonna go into a whole thing with her, you know.
Yeah,
just like, oh, okay, let's move on from this conversation.
Well, cool. So last time in the Bible, we went over the Ten Commandments again. We talked about, I re-listened to the episode while I was editing, and like I was really stuck on that graven images stuff. But it's so funny, because, re-listening to it, like I thought that was a pretty good episode. Like it was pretty funny. Like we had some good discussions through it, but like while recording it, like I was dying. Like I thought, like this is like gonna be a horrible episode. But it always surprises me. Like sometimes, like the ones that I think are gonna be terrible turn out being like kind of entertaining. Oh yeah, I was also talking to Sky from the channel Vegan of Course. I have to call him out because he called me out for not mentioning his channel name last time. But he was saying that, he was saying like, hey, maybe you should jump ahead to the New Testament at some point. When are you going to get to the New Testament? It's like, dude, we're only on chapter or book 5 of like 60. It's going to be a while. So sorry, everybody, you're stuck in the Old Testament with us.
But we're almost done with Moses, right?
Yeah, this is the last book of Moses.
Yeah. Sick of Moses.
Me too. Moses was a jerk.
Yeah, he's not great.
I was really bummed. I thought Moses was going to be a cool guy.
I mean, they make him out that way.
Well, in the beginning, like, yeah, he seemed like he was going to be like a hero to some enslaved people. And, you know, I like that. I don't like slavery. But
yeah, I forgot about that part. Where then the whole baby in the river.
Yeah.
It's a cool origin story.
Yeah, it was cool. And then, you know, just turned into a mass murderer. Just a warlord.
Yeah.
So let's see if we kill anybody else this episode. Mm-hmm. Chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, no short, nor show mercy unto them.
That was quick.
It didn't take long. We got to the smiting like in one paragraph.
Oh my gosh.
No mercy. It's basically fucking Conan the Barbarian. It's just like, I get it. I don't have an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, but what is the Conan line where he's like, I will
like dance. No,
no. No, it's like, I'll listen to the wail of their women. I don't know.
I never watched any of that.
No, my friends are going to make fun of me for not being able to remember it, though.
You're going to lose your Blockbuster card?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to lose my Blockbuster card for sure. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son.
Wait, what?
They can't marry any of these people that they're killing. Basically, starting the old ethno state. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. So I always think like in terms of Lord of the Rings, as we know. And like they're just describing orcs, like burning down the groves, destroying everything, like setting shit on fire. Like,
oh, this is, are.
Yeah, like it's just awful. Like when I first went vegan, like one of the big things I saw was like, you know, the chicks being ground up in the egg industry. Mm-hmm. And it was just horrible. And I could think about it. It's like, that's what Saruman would do. It's just like this industrialized cruelty. And like, this is what I get from this too. Like, they're just burning down the groves, like their gardens, and like, they're scouring the Shire is what Moses is doing.
Yeah. Or burning the Ents.
Yeah. Sad.
So sad.
For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. They don't sound very holy. This is not the actions of a holy person. So like, the term holy, I guess, doesn't mean what we think it means normally, like in our current colloquialisms. Like, usually holy means like compassionate or benevolent or, but this is just subservient is what holy means. You're subservient to the higher authority, the unearned authority of your creator. Sorry, I just thought about that. It's just the dissonance there with the word holy. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people.
But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with him that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face.
Dang.
Mm. So this is just more of the vengeful God talk. Like, if you're a good boy, he'll treat you nice. If you're a bad boy, he's going to smack you down.
Yeah.
To your face.
To your face.
Thou shalt, therefore, keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day, to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. So, just real quick, like a mid-sentence, but what is God doing for them? Like, it keeps on like saying like they have this covenant, which, like, that's an agreement, right? Like, what does the term covenant mean?
I don't know.
Like, it's like a deal. Like,
I guess
you
so.
Do this for me, I'll do this for you. So if they follow all these rules, then what does God do? He's not doing any. I mean, he says he'll bless like their million generations, but
he's giving them this land.
But he's not. They're going in and slaughter. Like, they're doing the slaughter.
Yeah.
Like, even from the, like, it's, so we know that he can open up the ground and swallow people up. We know that he can send angels and make people blind. We know that he can, like, make volcanoes erupt and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, he's already established he's got all these magic powers.
Right.
But yet, when it's time to give these people the land he's promised, he's not doing any of that. He's making them go kill everybody.
So much food, they choked on it.
Yeah, the only things he's done to people have been to his own people. The only, like he's not doing these things to the Canaanites. I mean, I guess he had the Red Sea, like, wash away the Egyptians that were chasing him.
Yeah. I think it's just part of cult mentality. You keep promising and promising and never delivering, you know?
Yeah.
Cult 101.
We should start a cult. We're learning how to do it.
This is the How to Start a Cult for Dummies book.
Yeah, pretty much. It's too bad we have like morals and stuff.
I know.
We could be really successful.
And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, and increase of thy kine with the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. It's been interesting, like, how the cattle always gets punished along with the people. Or in this case, I guess, blessed. But, like, you remember, like, every time, like, they get plagued? I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. Like, maybe they're just catching diseases from hanging out with these cattle that they have locked up all around them.
For sure.
But, like, every time in the story, God plagues the people. Like, he's like, plagued unto you and all your generations and your oxen.
Yeah.
Like, every time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, even in Egypt, when he, like, killed one of the days.
Oh, yeah.
He killed
Passover. Yeah, he killed.
Wait, when?
Like, when he killed all the firstborn of Egypt, didn't he also, like, kill all the their cattle as well?
I think so. But there was even one day when he brought all the locusts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then there was another day where he killed all the cattle. All the cows died or something.
Yeah. But another thing I thought about while reading this is this idea. I'm not sure if I've talked about this before, but this idea of, like, he's always telling them to multiply, and that, like, I really hate this new
kind of philosophy out there. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like antinatalism.
Oh, no.
It's this movement of people who think because you can't exist without doing some harm, like just living, you're going to like take up resources from others. You're going to hurt somebody just being alive.
Don't tell me that you shouldn't worry about it at all.
No, it's the opposite. It's that you should not breed. It's against having children.
Okay.
Like the kindest, most least harm you could do is to stop reproducing.
Okay.
And I think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I don't think that helps anything because basically all you're doing is just canceling out any good ideas you have that you could pass on to the next generation. Like, I read this book called What We Owe the Future that was all about, like, you know, how do you create, like, actually, like, its main premise.
Do you drink something gross?
There's something in my drink.
Oh, no.
It's a bug.
Uh-oh, not vegan anymore.
But basically, we need to stop for a second.
No, it's fine. I can get it out. It's just a little bug. I don't know how it got in there.
So it kind of comes from an effective altruism approach of like, how do you do the most good? Like, logically. And he said the most good you can do is for the future rather than the present. And the whole book goes into all this stuff. And it's pretty interesting. I don't know if I agree with everything he says, but I did really like the point he made about how the best way to spread good ideas is to have children and lots of children. And he comes across this reasoning by the fact of the growth of these religions.
Hellhound does not like that little girl riding her little pink bike with streamers on it.
I can't see it.
But the example he used was Mormonism, one of the fastest growing religions there is. And the reason they're growing so fast is not because they have great ideas and they're convincing people, new people, to come join Mormonism. They're growing so fast because they have so many more children than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so if all the smart people and logical thinkers stop having children and passing on good critical thinking and good morality, then all the bad people will have their children. And brainwashing does work.
Yeah.
That is why we have pledges of allegiance and make people swear to gods they don't believe in every day throughout their childhood. It's the reason why people pay to have commercials on the Super Bowl. It's because the more you see something and the more it's put in front of you in your brain, the more you're going to believe it. It's just brainwashing 101.
Yeah.
It works on people. So I think this is what God is doing too. He's saying multiply, 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 have kids. Not only does it make your armies bigger, but it spreads your religion. It spreads your bad ideas.
Yeah, I get it. Then that totally makes sense, especially like you said, with Mormonism and now like the whole trad wife thing where, you know, just normal old families are acting like it's the baby boomer situation, you know, and
yeah,
they're having 6 kids, 8 kids. But that's not sustainable. And anybody that's using their logic knows that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
You can't provide emotional support and financial support for all those kids.
Yeah. That's true.
So that's tough.
Guess you could adopt.
Oh.
That's good.
Well, yeah. You could do that.
All right.
Foster.
We solved it.
Foster. Then you get money from the state.
Oh, that's true. But that never... I don't know. I have a good friend who grew up in a foster home, and she loves all her brothers and sisters and her parents and stuff, but I've heard lots of bad stories too about foster families.
Yeah.
And then they're rife with abuse and neglect.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Well, I mean, you have nice families that just want to provide a good place and provide a good example, then
yeah. And I should just shut up anyway.
Need.
I've already I've already like ruined my credibility when it comes to fostering children and stuff. One time I was at the like the Supercuts or someplace getting my hair cut.
I know you know this story, but it's a fun one.
And I'm sitting there just like waiting, you know, and dicking around on my phone, not doing anything. And I'm sitting, and across from me is a man sitting with his child. And his child's like trying to get him to play a game with him. And the dad has like zero interest. He's like done. And he's just looking at his phone, looking at his phone, looking at his phone. And I'm just sitting there being like such a judgmental prick, being like, look at that bad dad caught up in social media rather than paying attention to his kid. Oh, I'm,
you know, just being really judgy in my brain. And then I guess the chair opens up, whatever, the haircut person, stylist calls over the kid and she goes, oh, it's so great to see you. And they start talking about how this dad has like adopted like all of these children. And like, he's like a pillar. When I got called up, then the stylist started telling me about how great this man was that I've been sitting judging, because that kid is like disabled or a burn victim. And he's like adopted like all of these needy children and takes such good care of them. And like, he's like really like doing something great for humanity. And I'm just like, oh, I am an asshole.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of foster parents who do it for the money or the access to children.
Yeah, that's not good. No. I'm gonna take a stand on that one. Say that's bad.
It's bad.
And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. I don't think that played out.
Yeah.
And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed.
All right, now we're getting some God magic happening. He's going to send the hornets after them.
Hornets. I would like to say, I have spent my 40 years on this earth, never been stung by a hornet.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Never been stung by a bee. Oh, no. I forgot last year I was finally stung by a bee. But never been stung by a wasp.
Pride goeth before the fall. You're here bragging.
I forgot I got attacked while playing Pokemon. Random bee.
Did it sting you?
Yeah, it got me on the back of my leg. I was just walking down the trail.
God sent his bees after you.
I think it was Pokemon.
Thou shalt not be affrighted of them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing.
Interesting. I thought that for sure they were keeping the gold these idols are made out of.
Oh, you know they were.
God said no. God said don't do it. Mm. You don't buy that?
World War II, didn't people keep...
Oh, yeah.
Lots of art.
Oh, yeah.
Stolen.
Oh, for sure.
Like, come on.
Yeah, I think that's all warfare.
Yeah.
Chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Oh, brother. So stupid. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines, and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that okay. he might...
okay.
Yeah.
We're rewriting history here.
Well, these are the high points of the last...
He forced them to do all that, and then he got really angry when they complained.
Yeah.
Like, really angry.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I did all this for you.
So, I watched an interesting YouTube video the other day. I give the guy credit, but I can't remember what... what his name was, but it was a biblical scholar who was talking about the theory that he called it the blue thread throughout the Bible. And he was talking about how it was kind of like the Christspiracy thing, that people weren't supposed to eat meat, like how it started off, how in the Garden of Eden, God said, only eat the fruit-bearing seeds of the fruit-bearing trees and all that stuff. And it talked about that part where all they had to eat was manna, and they were like whining and complaining that they wanted meat. And God was like, oh, you want meat? You want meat so bad? Fine. Eat it till it comes out your nose. And like he was mad about it. And this guy was saying like that was evidence that like they weren't supposed to be eating animals, this thing. Hmm. Which is a cool theory. I don't know if I buy it, though. Because weren't they always also saying, like, they wanted garlic and, like, some weird stuff? I think it's more selective reading to fit this guy's
definitely
narrative. And also, like, the entire, like, latter half of the book of Exodus is all just killing animals.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
This is all just made up.
and it's all fake. So yeah, wishful thinking there, but I thought it was interesting. Just that
is a weird part of the book.
Oh, that's real weird.
And they're like, we want to eat something other than mana.
Yeah.
And I think it was the children crying it too.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, that was real weird.
Yeah.
That would make a really good painting.
What? With food coming out of their nose?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like all those paintings from...
It'd be real creepy.
Like Lot and his daughters.
Yeah. It'd be like a real creepy painting with, you know, destitute
like a,
people
oh, what's
with
that,
food pouring out of their nose.
Yeah, Hieronymus Bosch, who used to make all those paintings of hell, of like people doing weird punishments and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end? And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me his wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God.
This is where people get all the, if you follow the Lord's rules, the Lord will pay your bills.
Yeah.
Hey, that's in our opening. And you know Jesus Christ will pay your bills.
This is where they get that.
I guess so. Yeah. But it also seems like, you know, they say he's a jealous God. That's what's definitely what this sounds like.
Yeah.
Like, don't look at any other gods.
Yeah.
You're mine. Which I was thinking this too. So I was mowing the lawn this morning and I was thinking.
What? When?
Like 6:30.
Oh my gosh.
I had the whole lawn mowed by 7:30 this morning. It was great.
Weird.
Well, I don't use a gas-powered mower, so I didn't figure it would wake anybody up.
No, I just didn't know.
Did you know that a gas-powered mower puts out more pollution than a car, like driving like 100 miles?
I've heard that, yeah.
That's wild. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking was, like, I wonder what kind of response you got if you asked, like, a Republican to choose, like, would you rather your kid grow up to be trans, an atheist, or vegan?
Oh.
I wonder which one they would choose. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to see that game show. And I call it kind of don't, because, you know. Faith in humanity will be lost.
Yeah,
but
I'd be scared of what their response would be.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because there is definitely a, I don't know if hatred is too strong a word, but there's definitely a prejudice, like a very real prejudice against all three of those identities.
Yeah.
I think right now it's definitely the trans people have it the worst.
Oh, absolutely.
But in the past, like before it became such a hot button topic, I think maybe atheists would have it the worst. Like I remember I was at work one day and really nice woman. She was like an admin, but we were friends and she'd come into our office and talk to me and my friend that I worked with. She came in one day and she started just talking about like, oh, like atheists. Oh man. That's crazy. And my friend just got, he got this huge grin on his face and he goes, Davey is an atheist. And I felt so bad for her because she was so ashamed of herself and embarrassed that she was like talking shit about atheists in front of me. I mean, she was embarrassed that she got called out, you know, and
that's
I was
weird.
Just like, but I think that's a
that's
good.
It's so weird to just come up to somebody at work and start.
So it's dude, that is the story of my life. People just automatically assume, I don't know if it's the thing that I smile at everybody.
It is.
But they just assume I'm one of them, no matter what it is. Whether it's like, I'm a misogynist. Hey. And they just come up to me and just start telling me like,
yeah. It's the smile.
Like, hey, look at that girl's tits over there. And I'm just like, dude, that's not cool. Or they'll be like, just come up and start talking to me like I'm a racist hillbilly. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't feel that way. Like, what are you doing?
Yet there are plenty of instances where we get picked out as the Democrats or the...
True.
When we've gone to vote, that's been...
Yeah, tell that story.
We went in to go do... It was primary, some kind of primary voting. So they had, you know, had it separated between Democrat and Republican, which ticket you were voting on.
Right.
So we walk into the library and there's this huge line going through the whole lobby.
In Texas, of course.
Guess so we walk in and we were so confused. And we were just going to go walk to the end of the line. We just thought that was it. And then there was a guy standing in line who just starts pointing us like he's directing traffic, starts pointing us down the hall where there's no line. And we were like, what is this guy doing? And then the worker looked at us and said, Democrat or Republican? We're like, oh, Democrat. And he's like, oh, just this way, and points us the way the other guy
same
was.
Same direction.
And we're like, I guess like, we give off that vibe.
We have been profiled accurately.
You could tell that guy was just bored out of his mind playing a guessing game on who was going where.
Yeah. But, you know, here comes in like these people dressed in black with pentagrams on their shirts.
Right this way. Another time there was something else that happened recently too. I don't remember what that was, but there was another time we were waiting to vote. And some guy comes walking up behind us, and it was just the regular presidential election. I think it was the last one. Some guy comes walking up behind us, and he goes, oh, Democrats have to go to the back of the line. I thought you were going to kill him. Yeah. I just had to be like, turn around. just ignore him. But for some reason, you did not find it funny. Well, it wasn't funny, but it was just stupid. But I was just like, eh.
Yeah, I don't know. That triggered me. Like I did.
Too big time.
Well, it's just more of that. I don't know. It's just the Bubba dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, hur, hur. Just like. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't like being profiled, even if they're like dead on, like bullseye accurate.
There was another time. I wish I could remember the most recent. Instant. I just don't. Or incident. I don't.
But, yeah. So, why were we talking about this?
I don't know.
Because people assume I'm part of their group. Yeah.
No, it is. It's the smile. You smile at everybody. Like, just you're pretty friendly. And you're just like, eh, you know, like smile at people. I don't. I put an earbud in. No eye contact and go about my business. I work with a girl that same kind of very friendly, even to strangers. And she has people the same thing. People stop and tell her their whole life story. And I always tell her, you got to stop smiling at everybody. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Like, just save it. Save it for some people. Be selective of who you smile at.
That's probably good advice.
Yeah.
Although we get lots of good stories out of it, though. Like, remember when we were walking into the grocery store and, like, the elderly woman, like, started giving side eye to the other elderly woman exiting, and then she looks at me and goes...
Well, no, she gave her... Remember, she said, oh, I like your shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an important part. She gave her a superficial comment like, oh, I like your shirt. And then the second she was out of earshot, she turns to me and goes, yeah, for a whore. Dressed like a whore. I'm just like, whoa! Harsh. And like, why she felt like she could say that to me,
I don't know.
Pretty funny though. And I think I made her feel bad about it though, because I think I said something like, well, you should dress how it makes you feel good, makes you feel confident or whatever. I don't know what I said. And later she came up to me and tried to strike up a friendship in the grocery store. Because you're like, Davis has been gone a while. Been talking to my new friends.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got time for one more chapter.
Yeah.
All right. Chapter 9. Hear, O Israel,
Thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in and possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of Anakim, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying,
for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. Oops, that's not the Lord speaking.
Speak thou not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm always like a rooter for the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you read this and you think, oh, we're the good guys. Moses is on the good guy team.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's not.
Well, it's the same thing with like the Sodom and Gomorrah stuff, or like the people that were killed by the flood from the Noah story. It's like they just say, oh, well, they were wicked people. They don't say what they were doing that was wicked.
That's true.
They don't say anything other than those are bad people. Like, all they're doing is just othering them and saying, like, they're bad, they're wicked, they're sinful. But none of that means anything. It's all just cult language.
Yeah, did they really ever actually say what they did wrong? Or have we just come up with that afterwards?
Yeah, no, they just say, like, oh, well, they were wicked people. They must have been, like, murdering everybody and killing people. It's like, that's what you're doing! Yeah. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. I forgot he's always calling on that.
What does that mean?
They're stubborn, I think.
Yeah. You just aren't willing to look around you and see what's... be, like, self-aware.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I think, like, it's maybe, like, God tells you to do something different. Like, change direction, go a different way. And you're like, no, I got to keep doing what I'm doing. Oh, I think it's just like a stubbornness. Okay. Like, I think about it like they rode horses and donkeys and stuff. And so a stiff-necked, like, transport animal would, like, not turn if he tried to turn his head. If he tried to pull the reins or whatever.
That's a good, yeah, that might be where it came from.
Could be.
Yeah. Interesting.
Remember, and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord hath spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me,
this is a lot of red flag behavior right here.
Oh, for sure. It's always like...
it's very manipulative.
Yeah, no one's ever around to hear it when the Lord speaks. It always comes around the corner after being gone for a long time. It's like, I found these writings.
Well, no, I'm just talking about the part of Moses saying... because this is Moses.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I forgot to do the uncircumcised lips voice.
Just him going on about how much he has sacrificed for them, and you know.
Oh, it's yeah. Just, that's like narcissist behavior.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto me,
"Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image."
Oh, the golden calf. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I
have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they.
So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables, and cast them out of my two hands, and brake them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time.
And you're the one that stabbed him.
Well, that was my interpretation. It didn't say he stabbed him.
He did.
Said he brought him up on the mountain, made him take off all his clothes, and then he dropped dead. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I think he'd like pulled a Godfather on him and took him out in the canoe and killed him.
And I took your sin, the calf which ye made, and burned it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust, and I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. And at Taberah, and at Massah, and at Kibroth Hattaavah, ye provoked the Lord to wrath.
You know what's also interesting is that if Moses was supposed to have written all of these five books of the Bible, why would he write it again? Like, why would he write this whole, all these chapters of Deuteronomy where he's repeating what he just told us in order to reiterate
I don't know.
The things he did to brag about his actions? Like, I mean, it's because it's, you don't know because it's obviously not written by the same person. Like, it's obvious that these are multiple different accounts all gobbled together.
Oh, I agree with that. But there are times in our modern day life where you're faced with getting the same information twice.
Like what? Like, what do you mean?
Like, whether you're, you know.
You look like you're, like, this is something that I did, like.
No. Certain relatives may tell you the same story over and over and over.
Yes, and it's,
or even at work, you may get like...
Yeah, your boss tells you to do one thing and then like you turn it in. They're like, oh, this is not what I was looking for at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said this. I'm like, no, you didn't.
Yeah. Or you get a meeting in an email and a Teams all on the same information. You know, and you're like, why am I getting this so many times? I got it.
Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying,
go up and possess the land which I have given you.
Then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, destroy not the people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through my greatness. Oh, through thy greatness. which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not into the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. Lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm.
All right, Moses.
Calm down.
Calm down, bud. All right, I'm done. That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. For sure.
Stay dumb, everybody.
Stay dumb.
Bye.